Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Bank Holiday Monday episode. But if you're an IFS subscriber, you get it on a Sunday evening. It's just a cheeky little perk that we like to dish out. How are you doing, Sam? You all right?
I'm all right. I don't quite feel myself at the moment. I've been a bit stressed.
Feel yourself?
Sorry. But it's happy-go-lucky, cheeky gags like that one that will revive my spirits soon enough.
That's what I'm here for.
I think sometimes I'm stressed and I don't realise I'm stressed and then something alerts me to it. So I noticed my jaw was aching. And I realised, right, some people might say it's because you fucking talk so much. Could be that, but it was hurting more than usual. It's kind of just fucking tensing my jaw, mate, like this.
Yeah. Grinding your teeth a bit?
Yeah. Waking up with a headache. Don't know what that's about.
Right. That so comes from the grinding of the teeth.
Old Nifty is not 100%, but he's not 50% either. He's somewhere in between, okay. So it's not too bad. But, just a bit knackered. And then West Ham got fucking battered again, which is annoying. Do you know what I mean?
Chelsea as well.
Yeah, I know, by bloody Chelsea. Mind you, Chelsea, I mean, they're going to have the last laugh here because everyone's laughed at Chelsea all fucking season, right? Mm. Rightly so, because they'd spent... Because person of interest, Todd Bowley... had literally assembled the world's first £1 billion football team.
Hey there, you have an 8-year contract.
I'm gonna spend $1 million. No, $100 million. No, $1 billion. A billion pounds sterling on this soccer team.
They will call it the £1 billion dream team.
And now, apparently, they've said, Mr. Bowley, and so have we won the Super Bowl yet? The World Series of Soccer? They go, unfortunately, Mr. Bowley, no. First of all, because soccer clubs don't enter either of those contests. Well, whatever it is, have we won it?
Why not?
Hey, you know I always invest in winners. Don't come and tell me about losers. I'm only interested in winners. Well, unfortunately, we haven't won anything. Well, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to buy the first $1 trillion football team. How about that? Or will it have to be gazillion dollars?
I don't think gazillion is actually an actual number. So
don't you tell me about numbers, you po-faced, limey piece of shit.
You small thinking asshole. Just because you've never heard of that number doesn't mean it's not real.
I'm from the land of the free. We think big out there, not like here in ye oldie little old merry old England.
And of course, Todd Bowley didn't realise that Chelsea had to qualify for the Champions League every year. He thought they were just in it.
Yeah.
Because
that's what happens in American sports. You're just in.
Yeah.
You're just in contests.
Yeah.
But they're going to finish above West Ham. And there might be a chance they'd finish against Tottenham. Probably not. That's probably mathematical. But they've thrashed Tottenham and West Ham this week.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably a good moment to be a Chelsea fan right now. And, you know, fair enough, I suppose.
Well, swings and roundabouts in it, football. Yeah. Sunderland, we'll just briefly mention them. Our season's now finished. We had the second worst run of form in the league from the turn of the year. We have scored 2 goals at home since February the 10th, which is coming up for 3 months. And we have not been in the lead at home since February the 10th.
Good hell.
So
I'm sure you won a game not that long ago. I must have been away.
I think February the 10th was the last one. Yeah, we've won a couple away. We won away at West Brom, and I think Cardiff maybe as well. It's absolute dog shit. Truly. And I've given up my season ticket after 29 years.
Yeah, no, so you've done that.
I haven't renewed.
And what about your lad? Is he going to go or what?
No, he's not going to go either. We're both really sad about it.
Yeah, he's sad.
It's something we like to do. We like to go. I don't expect him to fucking win every week when we turn up.
No.
I want it to be competitive. I want it to feel as though we've had a goal.
It can get to the point of where it's insulting. Do you know what I mean?
It is defensive. Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, I think, especially if you support clubs like West Ham and Sunderland, obviously we're not in it for the glory. And you don't expect too much, although a lot of young fans do these days. But, I don't expect to win all the time. But when it just gets insulting, it can really fucking test your patience. But, like, going with your son is a good example of one of the things that does get us there. But even that, if your son goes off it as well, I mean, it's like, well, fucking hell, what's keeping me here? There's plenty of things you could be doing on Saturday. You could be puzzling, like I said last
week. Could be puzzling.
You could be, that's puzzling time.
Could be puzzling or puzzling while watching Sunderland matches on a borderline legal internet stream.
Yeah, you get a stream.
It's kind of the future.
Get your puzzles out. That's lovely.
I think the new EFL TV deal starts next season. I think I'm just going to quickly look. It will begin. Yeah, from next season, there's going to be 328 championship matches on the telly. They get 6 out of the 12 every weekend, it looks like. Are going to be live on the telly. Chances are Sunderland's going to be on most of the time because we're attractive to Sky because we get lots of viewers because we've got lots of fans. So the matches are going to be on the telly. Why am I going to pay 450 quid a year to go and sit and watch what has been absolute drivel for the last 6 months or longer?
Yeah.
You know? And me and my son can find something else to do. Like you say, puzzling, bark rubbing, something like that maybe.
There's loads of many hobbies available, and
maybe we'll buy a rundown old car, Sam, and tinker with it.
Yeah, we scrape the surface of all of worlds, the rich kaleidoscope of hobbies and pastimes that are available to the common man, like
so
you
much
and
out
I.
There.
You know,
if football's your only fucking selection as a hobby,
then. And we're fucking force-fed football from the moment we leave our mother's wombs, right?
Yep.
We emerge into light. And men like us, we are fucking force-fed football like those fucking poor French geese being force-fed corn by unscrupulous Gallic farmers to make their precious foie gras,
to
right?
To fatten their livers.
We are the English equivalent, right? We're born... Yeah. Then we come out in the maternity ward and straight away, you got that football, mate. You got to go football, ain't you? You got that football. You got to have beer for football. You got to go watch the game, ain't you? Go back.
Don't trust anyone, don't like football.
All right, go to football, I suppose. And the next thing you know, you're fucking middle aged, you're thinking, what the fuck am I doing this for? I forced it upon my son. Unfortunately for me, my only friendships exist at football, so I literally will be giving up on all, like, so, I mean, you know, you're my friend. I know, like,
Thank you
might not see it that way. I regard you as a friend,
but I reciprocate.
I only look at you in a small screen. I very rarely get to smell or touch you, which for me is an important part of a friendship.
You do, by God.
Oh, yeah, well, I tried to make up.
Fill your boots, don't
I try to make up for lost time and I can get my paws on you. But
and
like,
then you said recently you regard me as a father figure, which I found flattering.
Yes, yeah, you've asked me to stop calling you dad, which I'm trying my best to do.
During the pod, at least.
I've tried to remove you from my... I had saved you in my phone as dad. but
he changed it to dad brackets other.
Well, and then I've got Rod in there as well, haven't I? So there's a few different dad figures. I mean, I suppose I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking we've been talking recently about maybe in the future we might move, right? You know, the kids are getting older, etc. And we're like just talking about casually as a future plan. And we were talking about areas we might move to, right?
come to Sunderland?
I was thinking of done all the of them list. In terms of price and proximity to West Ham. And like, because other people in my family are like, oh, we've got to, if we move, it's got to be close. It can't be too far away from my mates. I don't want to like lose my social life, blah, 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 right? Mm. It's got to be within 20 minutes of this station or that station. And I'm like, fine. Make some odds to me where we live, though, because I don't have any mates to go and see. As long as I can go to West Ham once a fortnight, I'm all right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. And so that would almost be the only thing standing in my way right now. Although I can't really complain. We've had some good times at West Ham, and they might come back again. But obviously it does test your patience at times like this. I mean, we've been thrashed in the last few weeks alone. You know, we got thrashed by Palace. Palace put five past us.
Yeah.
Palace put five past us. Chelsea have just put five past us. Arsenal put six past us. Fulham put five past us. This is all this season. Under famously defensive coach David Moyes.
Well,
well,
it's David Moyes that set Sunderland on the path to doom that we're still on, really.
Yeah.
With his fucking relegation season.
He hasn't quite
locked up and gave us
the same amount of damage to us as he did to you, in all fairness to him. I think he's got to go now, but he's given us some good times at least. But sorry, this is all a bit football-y. You can see I'm not feeling 100%, mate. I'm sat here talking about fucking football.
Yeah. I mean, this is the bank holiday episode, so you know what? It doesn't need to be full length. In the past, we've sacked it off on bank holidays.
Yeah.
And just as we're not doing one, it's a bank holiday.
Yeah. Fuck all of yous.
Go and do something else.
Yeah, I got...
So, we call time on this one any time you like.
Well, I saw an article in the paper. I can't remember what paper it was. Maybe it was The Times, about podcasts. I wanted to read out the beginning of it, but now I've not got it in front of me. But, you know, what's her name? Is it Natalie Cassidy? Is she the one who used to be in EastEnders?
She still is in EastEnders, Sonia.
She's still in it?
Still in
it, good fucking luck to her. Here we go.
National treasure.
Here we go. This is in The Times, though. It says, why Sonia off EastEnders is beating the middle-aged podcast bros. I thought, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
What's all this? I bet I butchers at this. I tell you, I haven't read the whole article, but I like the intro. It says, Natalie Cassidy's straight shooting show, Life with Nat, has hit number one in a medium full of men. Right? I thought,
okay, good.
Good, right? And then it says, her secret, keep it mundane. And I thought, well, yeah, but we've been doing this for years. Anyway.
People have been calling us jaded for at least 2 years.
It says, the podcast world is ruled by men, political pundits, nerdy historians, we're both those things, knackered dads, tick.
Yes.
And classic mansplainers.
That as well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, though, unexpectedly, sitting atop the throne of the UK Spotify charts is a woman, Natalie Cassidy, also known as Sonia off of EastEnders.
Sonia off of EastEnders, yeah.
I was expecting maybe some of my Instagram followers to listen, but to be number one, exclaimed the actress last week after going straight to the top spot with her newly launched podcast, Life with Nat. And I'm still number one a week later. While other top podcasters typically chew over the meaty subjects of the day, Cassidy unpicks the quotidian issues that truly matter. Drivers in the middle lane who cut into the queue in traffic at the last minute to get off the motorway.
Yeah.
Accidentally putting white tissues into a black wash. How to dress in the British sunshine. The hell of packing. And the relentlessness of parenthood. Sounds good. But, you know, I might even give it a listen. She's always seemed quite nice to me. But I am disappointed that whoever it was who wrote this piece, let's see who it was. What's their name? It is Laura Pullman.
Who is it?
Laura Pullman. Right. Laura Pullman, I get what you're saying, but look, we're men. There's no denying it, and we can't get round it. And I feel that we've both been sufficiently apologetic for that fact over the years. But it was just the way we were born, right? We've got Willies. We
are very much so, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. But we, you know, we're blokes and we're sorry, but we are. But we talk about boring things. That she's making out that this is like the only one. Let's see what else she says. I want to see if the journalist starts saying that men podcasts are really
silly.
I hope she does. No, it's just the whole thing is an absolutely amazing fucking, I would say, at least 1,500 word feature just about this podcast and how it's good and successful. But it's front page Times, front homepage and Times. I mean, good luck to her. It sounds good, and we probably do need a few more podcasts of this nature.
I was out last night. I went to see Elbow at the City Hall in Newcastle. It was an amazing gig. Yeah. Really enjoyed it. And a fella came up to me. He actually did the tap of the nose, the IFS.
Lovely. Good man.
Still doing a bit iron filings. Yeah. We had a brief chat, and he did say, "I can't tell you enough how much the podcast kept me going during lockdown."
Right.
And I just said, "That's silly. Don't be silly. You're silly.
You silly bastard.
It's a silly podcast, and it's not important because it's done by some men." So, yeah. Sitting with a flea in his ear.
Yeah, unfortunately, people do say that about lockdown sometimes. Like, "Oh, you helped me through lockdown." And I sort of think, well, that's nice. And then I think, but it's not lockdown anymore, is it? So how do you feel about it now?
That's the question as well. I did ask him that, and he went, "Well, last 18 months to 2 years, jaded, really."
Is that what he said? Think.
So yeah, and I problem. Said, yeah, I agree. Most people say that.
Maybe, I don't know. But this is, I mean, it's only a matter of time for another lockdown, surely.
I think we fucking need it.
That's what I'm saying. You know, like they say, some generations need a war, right?
Yes.
You know what this generation needs? It needs a war. And I'm like, you know what these podcasters need? They need another fucking lockdown.
Mm. Yeah, we need the fourth wave of podcasting to have even more celebrities doing it on badly connected Zoom lines. We're waffling here a little bit, I feel.
Well, yeah, but that is the nature of the beast.
It is a beast. Do you want a bit of an update on the, what you call it?
Yeah, I don't think it's gone that well for me this week, but yeah, give us a reminder.
2 points for you.
Right.
3 points for ResultsBot.
Mm.
8 points for yours truly.
Fuck off.
Another correct Sunderland prediction.
How did you get the 8? Talk me through them.
I got Arsenal winning at home. I got Manchester City winning at home. Point each for them. And I got Sunderland 0, Sheffield Wednesday 2.
And that gives you how many? 6.
That gives me 6. So,
wow.
I think we should change the scoring system a bit next year. I think we should have a rethink.
Okay.
And have more points available for more different...
For different things, yeah.
Parameters, if you like.
Yes. Yeah, that's nice.
Like, if you predict the correct win goal difference or something like that, you get an extra point.
Yeah, or maybe if you... if Sunderland... You didn't get the result right, but you did predict that Sunderland would score twice.
Yeah,
see what I mean?
Like that.
Something
we'll,
like
we'll
extra.
Have a, we'll have a big... FIFA Pred are having their big meeting, their big conference in a couple of weeks' time where they look at all the prediction competitions around the world and issue some new guidelines for next year. So yeah, hopefully something will come out of that.
Yeah.
Takes place in Montreux, where the Jazz Festival... I think it might be at the same time as the Jazz Festival. You should go along.
Oh, my God. I would love to do that. What is this? What is it? It's a jazz...
FIFA Pred. The Jazz Festival. FIFA Pred. They've been in charge of all the prediction leagues around the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to fucking go to that. I've always wanted to go out
there. Just turn up.
Yeah. I want to go there.
Good. Predict some jazz. Jazz, though, is unpredictable, of course. That's the beauty of it, isn't it? That's the beauty of it. Yeah.
Okay, so what are the standings now in the predictions league?
So I think there's just next weekend now, isn't there? The Premier League final day.
No, there's two games left, and this one's in the week. I don't know. I think there's two weekends left.
I thought
we've got Luton next weekend, West Ham, and then we've got City after that.
Let's have a look. Premier League fixtures. Oh, it's the FA Cup final next week, and there's no Premier League on. That's fucking weird.
Yeah, they did. They went for a phase of having Premier League games on the same day as their FA Cup final.
No, what? No, what? I don't understand. No, there is matches next weekend.
Yeah.
It's not the FA Cup final next weekend. That's absolute bullshit. Saturday 19th of May is the last one. Oh, God, I thought they won 45 games. I thought this fucking thing was nearly finished.
Yeah, no, we got West Ham, we got Luton next Saturday, and then the final day of season's the following Sunday, 19th of May, and we'll be playing Man City and probably watching them lift the title.
I just said 45 games.
We got wrapped this episode up, mate. We are all over the fucking shop.
It's a shambles.
I hope that no one listens to this episode.
I'm sure. I'm not
because
sure
it's bank
put it
holiday,
out
so I hope they're it's just awful. Distracted.
Yeah, I'll put a warning out at the beginning. Should we record a little warning to put out at the beginning of the episode?
What, caution!
Now?
This has high. Episode contains high levels of jadedness.
Yeah, you just say that then again.
Caution! The following episode contains high levels of jadedness.
It's the middle of a bank holiday weekend, and we do not recommend you listen to this episode if you intend to be lifted out of any kind of foul mood.
Or malaise.
Malaise. I'll cut that out, put that at the beginning. So two more weekends of the Premier League. So, I was going to tell you the standings, wasn't I? You're on 127. ResultsBot is on 121.
Ooh.
I'm on 115.
ResultsBot can still catch me, for sure.
ResultsBot can still catch you. I could still catch ResultsBot.
So that means you could still catch me?
No, because I'm six behind. There's six points between each of us.
Right, yeah.
I could if I have a really good weekend on the last weekend of the season.
Yeah, I mean, if you got two Sunderland correct scores in a row...
And now Sunderland's dried up. We can't do... Sure?
Oh, yeah, so who do you... You've got to have a team for your next 2 weeks, if not it's unfair.
I'll have to have a team.
You have to pick a Premier League team.
I'll let you decide who my team should be.
I think it should be Fulham.
Fucking hell, all right then. Because of the history that I've got with Marco Silva.
Don't know why.
I'm regarded as a fraud.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that'll get right on your tits.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Jalapeño.
Anything in the mailbag? Let's have a look. This is pretty good. It's from a lady listener, Kelly Leeson. Yeah. She sent a photograph of a thing from a magazine, I guess, which is called 101 Ways a Man Can Please a Woman.
Right.
But it's not below the belt stuff.
Good.
But she says, have a look at this. Might be worth a deep dive. I'm just trying to open it up bigger so I can see it, because it's a very small document. Yeah. Number one, give her a single long-stemmed rose. This is from 1972, by the way. And it's
based
on
a high point for romance, in my opinion.
It's based on a book, How to Make Your Wife Your Mistress, from 1982, by Lois Bird. And it's, I think it's, it's an attempt to spice up your relationship, I guess. Number two, write a love note and leave it on her dressing table while she's still asleep. Does your good wife have a dressing table, Sam?
Your tits look fucking cracking in that T-shirt tonight. All the best, Sam Delaney.
P.S. Good morning.
P.S. Have you seen my keys? I left them in the drawer by the door. I was fucking sure of it, but they're gone. Maybe the cat got hold of them. I don't know.
I was a bit pissed when I come in. It could be anywhere. Anyway, regard what I said about the tits. Thank God. Make more effort in that department and we'll be all right.
They looked absolutely first class.
Does your good wife have a dressing table?
No, she doesn't, no.
Oh. Something has changed in 1972. So number three, send her an unsigned telegram saying, I love you. That's just weird.
Unsigned? That's creepy. Yeah. She might think, oh, I've got a secret admirer. And then you go, no, it's from me. And she's secretly gutted. It's from you. Fucking hell. That's boring.
Oh, fucking hell. First of all, the note about me tits, and now a fucking weird telegram.
He's gone fucking... I'm bailing out of this. He's gone fucking nuts, this cunt. He's finally fucking cracked.
Number four feels a bit more back on track. Buy a continental quilt.
Ooh. Well, I did have a small tiff with my wife about the quilt situation on my bed morning. Because, like, in the morning, it's good to make your bed, right? Of course it is. There's a book by the former head of the US military, most senior, like, fucking commander in the... I can't remember what his name is, but I interviewed him once on the radio about his book. And the book is called Make Your Bed, right? And it's lessons learned from his life. It's quite high performance, to be honest. But he was much more likable than your usual purveyor of that stuff, right? He was an interesting guy.
It's a low bar, let's be honest.
Yeah. But he was like this interesting sort of veteran of like a million and one different fucking wars. And he'd been like the fucking chief of the US Army for years. And the title of the book is Make Your Bed. And it's all these different tips. And one of them is, if you get up in the morning and you make your bed, then at least you've achieved something that day.
Fucking hell. Again, the low bar.
Mind blown. Yeah. I like to make my bed in the morning. But the problem I've got is, right, I've got a continental quilt, because I'm modern like that.
Modern man, yeah.
That's what you'd expect of a man like me. I'm metrosexual. I've got a continental quilt. But then on top of that, there's two extra blankets, Andy, right? There's one that's quite a thick blanket, right? Yeah. And it's sort of smooth cotton on one side and some sort of like velvety material on the other. And then on top of that, there's like a light cotton sort of patterned blanket, right?
It's very stifling.
Yeah. And I'm like, I said to my wife, I said, it's fucking May. Why the fuck have we got three covers on this bed? And she's gone, well, that's what I like. And I said, I know
that's
like
none
it.
Of your business, dickhead.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. Like, who do you think? She looked, the vibe was, who the fuck do you think you are to be asking those kinds of questions of me?
About my bed.
Yeah, about my bed. You're lucky to fucking even have a place in it, right?
Yeah.
You want to watch it or you'll end up in the dog's bed and the dog's coming in here with me.
It's right. It's like that phrase about the police. They're police by consent. And you sleep in that bed by consent.
Exactly.
Implied
and
consent.
And I'm saying, I said, look, I make the bed in the morning and I said, if we just had the continental quilt, fucking easy.
I'm pick
it up.
Very tiring.
I can pick it up by two corners, right? I've got a tremendous wingspan, right? So for me, it's
you
no
do.
Problem.
That's one of the things that doesn't get talked about enough.
I know. I don't, you know, it'd be nice if it got more acknowledgement publicly, but fine. Whatever, right? But It'd be nice if my dad would mention my wingspan just once.
Never has. Never has, has
never,
he?
Never mentioned
it once.
Not
even when you were a kid.
Just,
it was unusual even then, your wingspan.
Even as a kid, they could see that anyone could. The doctors saw it. The doctors said to my mum, this kid's got exceptional wingspan potential, right? Yeah. We've done the measurements and we've never seen anything like it in a child this age.
But the beauty of it was, for your nifty activities, you used to be able to fold your wings right up into your body and then still get through a very small hole like a mouse would.
I could fucking fit my wings through a window that was only partially open, reach through a couple of fucking rooms and grab some valuables.
And fly off.
Fly off. Nifty away, that's what I used to shout before I took off. But you know, it's easy for me to pick up a fucking duvet and give it the old, you know what I'm talking about, you go whoop in the air.
Yeah.
It catches some air, all the wrinkles go out.
Floats down, wafts.
Oh, it's actually one of life's pleasures, isn't it, to do that?
It's one of them.
Right. Yeah. But in my house, I have to fucking peel off these other, not, you know, fairly heavy covers. I peel them off. It's all tangled up, right, in the night. Mm. I peel them off. I fucking chuck them on the floor. I do the thing with the duvet. Fine, that's done. Then it's like the other cover. You can't, it's not the sort of cover that you can do that thing with. So you have to almost lay it and pull it out flat, right? Then the third cover goes on. I said, I wouldn't mind if it was winter. I said, but it's May. It just simply isn't cold enough at night for us to require that many covers. She went, well, I think it is. And I just said, no, you like the way it looks because it looks, I don't know. I think they're like, it looks nice.
Looks like something out of the Guardian Weekend magazine.
It looks nice once Muggins is fucking made it up.
But who's fucking seeing it?
Exactly.
Who's seeing it?
That's all I want to know. Now you've got me thinking now.
Yeah. Who's it for? Whose benefit is it for?
Exactly. So, I don't know. I wish it was, for me, May, you are way past the point at which you're operating just with a single duvet. Because let's be honest, once we hit July, you might be in the territory where you're just using a bed sheet.
Well, I mean, I've got a notoriously hot body.
Yes,
so
you're probably on bed sheet only there. Now, already. You're two steps ahead of me.
I mean, that, you can write me off as a potential adulterer with your good wife. Because I just simply couldn't stand the layout of the bedding.
No, I knew. I said there's no way you could be having Dawson round here, not with his hot body. It'd burn up under that many layers. You must be mad. When we send the Premier in on tour, he has to call ahead to have special arrangements made on his bed. He has to pay extra for a hot body room.
He has to have a layer of bags of ice put underneath the mattress.
Yeah, so we did have a bit of a falling out about that. Hmm. And the resolution was her basically saying, it's none of your business. The bed's going to stay like that and you better keep on making it as well.
I'd get used to it, pal, because it's here to stay.
Yeah, but for me, no, because I would have started with duvet only in early April. And then you have the whole of spring plus June and then move into just bed sheet only for July and August.
You could take those extra sheets and obviously put them on the bed, but then fold them over so they're not on your half at all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's actually an amazing idea. I might do that.
Shit.
I'm going to do that. That's
what
actually
am I suggesting?
I'm going to do that, and I'm going to report back on a podcast later in the week.
Right, yeah.
That's like an episode of Steptoe and Son, don't you think? It's certainly like, I mean, obviously, but it's sort of the same premise.
Yeah, good luck with that. We'll see how it goes. Do you want to hear a few more of these 1972 ways to spice up your marriage? Buy her a rubber duck for the bath.
Ooh.
Install pink bulbs in the bedroom. I assume that's like light bulbs and not...
So it feels like a knocking shop. And then
you can get her to
pretend she's a prosser.
The high level
women
of creepiness in most of these. Here's another creepy one. Buy her a new address book. Copy out all the names, if you dare.
What?
Give her a picnic basket for two. Fill the basket with chilled wine, smoked salmon,
with
cheese,
dead wasps.
strawberries, and get this, a book of erotic poems.
Fuck it out. There was a young man from Kentucky. Oh my God. Erotic poetry. Now we're talking.
So you go to this picnic basket and then it says, take her on a picnic. Bring a blanket and pillows. And in your case as well, a couple of extra sheets to go
yeah,
on
just
top.
In case. Blanket and pillows. Try and have it off with her in a park.
There's 51 in this list. Well, I might have a look at some more next time if we've got, if we
well,
remember.
One thing we haven't had time to talk about, which we, considering we were struggling for content, it seems mad that we didn't leap on it earlier, but we haven't got a lot.
I'm not going to put that warning out at the start because I think it's picked up since
picked
then.
Up. Well, yeah. This story, which we've been sent by numerous people, and I sent it to you on Friday as well, is absolutely unbelievable Top Flight Time Machine content. Giles Brandreth says he blames himself for Rod Hull's death. Well, people thought I'd be surprised when they sent me this story. But to be honest, my reaction was, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Not in the slightest. The fact that he's talking about it openly as well, he thinks that there's some kind of statute of limitations on how long he can be prosecuted over it. Yeah, he's just been open about it. It's kind of like a murderer returned to the scene of the crime.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It is a murder, let's be honest.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, he's basically admitting that he murdered Rod Hull, right?
Yeah.
And I've always wondered, well, what happened to Emu? Yeah? Did he go into care or what? Or to a rescue home? Well, you know Brandreth lives around my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to fucking... I know you shouldn't make public threats towards people. Mm. I know that.
No, you shouldn't, but...
I would like to... I would not me personally, but I think the police should go round and search his house to see if Emu's in it.
Well, get on the phone of them then. Get on a Crime Stoppers. You might get 30 quid for it.
I'm going to disguise my voice because I don't want any blowback from Brandreth. He carries quite a lot of weight round here.
Yeah, just pretend you're Northern.
Hello. Hello.
Hello
there. This doesn't matter who it is. This is John Johnson. This is John Johnson. I have some intelligence on the whereabouts of Emu. E-M-U, Emu, the puppet. I have some intelligence on his whereabouts. Reopen the file. Reopen the file on Emu. I want you to go and check Giles Brandreth's house.
Now, I don't know if he's been properly looked after, if he's been fed and watered. There's a good chance he might be dead in there.
Emu is locked in Giles Brandreth's fucking basement. He's been chained up to a radiator for over 20 years. He's only been fed... He's been given a fucking KFC barking bucket once a week.
Chained to a radiator like Boy George did with that young fella that time.
And he's got one of those bottles, you know, the wee bottles you used to give to the hamster. He's got a wee pipe coming out of it. And he can just about suck a bit of it when he... And Giles Brandreth barely changes the water bottle once a month, so he doesn't. So get yourself round there now, reopen the case.
I don't know where you're going to send the 30 quid to. I'll call back in a couple of days so we can talk about that.
I'm going to give you a PayPal account, but I've got to set it up. I can't give you the one for Sam Delaney. I mean, I can't give you the one for me because you don't know my name. So I'm going to give you a different one. Just remember, it was me who gave you the intelligence. Fucking hell, that's what it's about. He wanted his fucking... He could see that his gig on the TVAM sofa was, like, coming to an end. It was before he decided to be an MP, before he did that fucking grift. And he's thinking, right, what's my next move? I think TVAM's about to go fucking tits up. And old Brandreth is going to be fucking back on his arse signing on again. Unless I get something to keep my career going. Of course, if something ever happened to Rod... Then there'd be someone else would have to take over sort of handling Emu. Maybe I'd be good at that. But how do I get Rod out of the picture?
The beauty of it is it's not even ventriloquism. The Emu's mouth doesn't speak.
Yeah.
So there's no ventriloquism to learn. I can do that.
It's the easiest fucking gig in the puppeting world. All I need to do is get Rod out of the picture. But how? Hey, I know what. I'm going to go and fuck. What I'm going to do is... I'm gonna fuck with fucking Roy Skydish, right? I'll pay a couple of cunts to go up on a fucking ladder when he's on. I know he's going on holiday soon, right? He's going to Spain. He told me because he wanted to borrow something off me. He wanted to borrow my phrase book. So when he's off in Spain, I'm gonna pay a couple of little cunts, crackheads, to go up on his roof and fucking dick
couple
about
of fucking
with his
nifty cunts.
Yeah, and he'll go up there. I'll bug him a couple of crackheads, a tenner each. They'll fuck with his Skydish. When he comes back, I know Rod loves his fucking football. So when he comes back, the first thing I want to do is sit down and watch the football, right? I'll make sure I just happen to be passing his rig that night, right? And when he comes out and goes, "We're fucking Sky's fucked," I'll go, "Don't bother with a fucking engineer, mate. Get your ladder and go up there."
He's still up there. It's easy done. You're just wiggling about and it works
piece
again.
Piece of piss. And if he says it looks dangerous, what I'll do is I'll peer pressure the cunt. I'll go, "Ah, you fucking pussy. Scared of heights, are you, Rod? You fucking prick. Get up on your fucking ladder. Be a man for once in your life. You fucking puppeteer weirdo." And he always gives the thing about all of that. You what?
That troubles me. The thing about that incident at Rod Hull's death, that's always troubled me. How do you get up there on a ladder onto your roof and wiggle your Skydish about? You got off someone downstairs telling you whether the picture's tuned in again or not, haven't you?
Yeah.
Was that Emu doing that?
Yeah.
Could Emu speak?
He spoke, but only to, because remember he used to whisper in Rod Hull's ear.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. So he does.
So he could only speak to Emu.
He
could only speak
to
Rod Hull, but if no one else was around, he was quite comfortable.
They just talk openly.
Yeah.
Move on about to the left. Oh, that's still snowy. It's still snowing. Down a bit, maybe. Kind of thing.
Oh, is that all right, Emu?
Yeah, that's it. You got it. Come down. Oh, ah, ah, fucking hell.
Rod? Is that you, Rod?
Oh, fuck.
Fucking hell. Then his footsteps running away. Who's that? That looks like he's wearing a funny jumper. Was that Rod Hull? Was that Charles Brandreth? Charles Brandreth running from the fucking scene of the crime, been hiding in a bush watching the whole thing.
Yeah, so his binoculars.
For his fucking, not his Tory binoculars.
it's a
horrible, messy fucking, this is a mess. I don't like it, and I suspect that we may look at this more closely in weeks to come.
I think there's a lot more to come, definitely. I think the amateur detectives of the internet who came to life when that woman fell in the river that time last year, they'll be all over this now. They'll have their opinions and their theories. So, plenty more to come, I think, on it.
Have you heard the actual direct quote? You know, he said this on John Cleese's podcast.
It's on his own podcast, on Brandon's podcast.
I was speaking to John Cleese on his latest episode of his Rosebud podcast, noted Brandreth, you're now moving into podcasting as well. Mm-hmm. Right. I killed a man. It was Rod Hull, the Emu man. I find that quite disrespectful.
Yeah.
The way he's phrased that. Yeah. He's making light of it, I think. The Emu man. I mean, he was more than just the fucking Emu man. He was a human being. He had kids.
Yeah. He lived on a boat for a while.
And then the boat caught fire.
But that wasn't his fault.
It wasn't his fault.
It wasn't insured.
Yeah.
And the Thames Water Authority charged
they
him.
They got involved.
Sorting it out.
they wanted their pound
go
of
back
flesh.
To our Rod Hull Odyssey episode series. What was I going to say? Oh, who's Brandreth think he is? Felix fucking Dennis? I killed a man.
I killed him.
Fuck off, did
fucking
you?
Fucking pushed him off a cliff, didn't I? it's a subcategory of, like, along with Timbrel, men who defend themselves as court, men who claim to have killed men. Other men but haven't really. there is a fucking type of man who likes to claim they've killed other men.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Weirdly in pubs.
Yeah.
Look, this has gone on far too long. This was meant to be a short episode, and then once we got started, it was meant to be a shit episode, and it's turned out all right, I think.
Yeah, long and all right. What more do you want?
I have to cut out for legal reasons, but none of us will be any the wiser about that.
Better than fucking Rosebud as well.
Yeah, fuck Rosebud. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back throughout the week with all the other shit. Yeah, that's that.
That's that.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.